Turn to Luke chapter 3 with me, if you would. Luke chapter 3. You can go ahead and stand, yes. Now, when we get to the nearing the end of this message, we're going to close things off in John chapter 20. Now, you can wait until it's time and you can find that, or you can find it beforehand and put a ribbon there. That's fine too. But when we get close to the end, then we're going to be in John 20. Luke chapter 3. Begin with me, if you would, and follow along as I read in verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. I love that phrase. The heaven was opened. Why do you think that heaven opened up? Let me just tell you, because we're about to hear from the Father. We're about to hear from the Father. See what he says, verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, that is, upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So here's the image. The heaven opened up, and then a voice from heaven spoke to Jesus. We need to hear from heaven this morning. I think we already have, but let's continue to hear from heaven. Father, this morning, we confess that we need you, we need your guidance and your touch. Lord, there are those here that I'm certain need to be saved. God, would you open heaven and speak to their heart? For those of us who are just fighting and kicking against you, God, would you open heaven and speak to our hearts? And for those that just want to hear from you and want to serve you and want to know your will, God, would you open heaven and guide our hearts in your path? Help us to be faithful to you and to love you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Last week, Miss Melissa and the boys sang a song that was just awesome. It was a song about the answer being Christ. And in the phrase on the end of that song, the last lyric on the chorus said, in all the problems of life, the answer is Christ. In all the problems of life, the answer is Christ. Now we need to live that truth in our lives, don't we? We need to live that. We need to believe that in our heart. We need to live that truth. The answer is not found in anything else. You face problems. We all face problems. When you try to find answers to your problems in life and your spouse, then you're looking in the wrong place. What you're ultimately looking in by trying to find answers in that relationship to the problems and the issues that we're having in life will fail you. They will. This relationship will fail to deal with that problem in your life. If you're relying on your children to help you through, to give you strength, to give you guidance, then that relationship will ultimately fail you. If you're looking to your pastor and that relationship to keep you on the right path, to set you on the right path, to give you guidance and direction for your life, then you are looking in a relationship that will ultimately fail you. You're looking in the wrong place. Why? Because the answer is Christ. He is the answer. You'll not find answers in the problems and the issues and the needs that we have in life in any other relationship. You'll not find it in yourself. We sure do spend a lot of our energy looking for something to make us feel happy, something to make us feel complete, something to make us feel satisfied, Brother Josh mentioned. We look for things to make us feel secure. In those times of insecurity, and we often look for those things in satisfying the needs of ourself, and it looks different for different people. And you engage in this search, whether it's a relationship we've already noted, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a family member, or just your own satisfaction by looking for it in the things. You'll not find it in the things of this life, because the answer is Christ. The things of this life will fail you. The things of this world will fail you. Everything that you search for in your life, in your own strength, will fail you. It will fail you. No matter how much your heart tells you it won't, no matter how much you convince yourself that you're doing good and you're on the right path, if you're not looking for it in Christ and in any other source, it will fail you. Your own abilities, your own talents, your own strength, it will fail you. Truly, He's the answer. Now, John understood that Jesus was the answer. John the Baptist, that is. Who's our preacher as we're closing up the story about John the Baptist here? And with his message, he desired to do nothing more, nothing outside of just preparing people to receive Jesus. That was his job, to prepare the way. So he preached the baptism of repentance. He said, you need a transformation from the inside out. See, often we look for things to transform from the outside in, but that's not how it works. We don't look for emotional movements. We don't look for things to make us feel a certain way so then we can have a kind of transformation. No, what God does is He works on the inside, and He brings a touch and a conviction, and with our obedience and our faith in Him, then it works its way on the outside. And that's what God desires to do in all of our lives. And John knew that, and that was his message. Did you understand that repentance isn't on the outside? Repentance is on the inside. That works its way to the outside. It's an issue of the heart. It's always been the issue of the heart. You know why you struggle so much? It's because your heart. You know why you fight so much? It's because your heart. You know why you rebel so much? It's because your heart. The issue is our heart. It's always been our heart. Always will be our heart. When your heart transforms, your life will transform. So God's looking for your heart this morning. John knew that. That's his message. He wants your heart. By the way, can I go ahead and start off by saying this? If you're not willing to give God your heart, then there's no hope for you. Everything that you're looking for in this life will fail you. The answer is Christ, and He's asking for your heart, which means He's asking for it all. When He gets your heart, He gets it all, right? You can't give Him your heart and then leave some of it for yourself. No. He wants it all. And if you give Him your heart, you're giving 100% or you're giving nothing. So God calls us and He speaks to us and He asks for our heart. And John preaches, if you want to be saved, if you want your heart to be turned to Christ, then you need to hear the message. You need to hear from God. And so the message is there. The people mused, it said. Just a few verses before this, the Bible says the people who are hearing John, they're musing. What's that mean? It just means they're pondering, they're thinking, they're considering, they're coming to conclusions. It literally means a coming together. Mused means a coming together. And so things are coming together in their mind. Like, well, what are they thinking? Wow, I like this preaching. That's what they're thinking. John is preaching the word. He's preaching the word, and he's not shy about it either. He calls them a generation of vipers. You know, a preacher is not shy if he calls the people he's preaching to snakes. Or like Brother Chad said, a bunch of dirtbags, you know? If you're willing to do that, then you're not ashamed of the gospel. And so he's preaching the word. The Bible says they're musing in their minds, in their heart. They're musing. What are they musing? Well, this has to be the Messiah. This guy has to be the answer. Watch, listen. I can't say this enough, because it's so true that we often do this. And many of you, you're so attached to something in your life. All your hope is resting in that relationship. All your hope is resting in that commitment that you have. And God is, through John, to this morning, again and again, over and over in His Word, is trying to remind us that it will fail you. It will fail you. Because all the things in this life will fail us. The answer is Christ. He's the only answer. That's why we need to stop musing about or thinking or considering or pondering in our heart about an answer that's something other than Christ. That's what they were doing. It must be John. By the way, there's a danger there when you sin under a man of God and God uses that man of God to work in your heart, that you might start to think that the answer in your life is that man of God. But that's not the case either. It's Christ. So John set him straight. He says, I'm not even worthy to loosen. That doesn't go together. Unloose. Anyway, loosen. Some of y'all figure that out later. How I messed up there. Anyway, loosen his sandals, which was the most menial of tasks. It's like my kids, you know, their feet smells bad. I'm just going to say it, all right? Whoa. Brother Tim was over, and thank you so much. He did some work for us, and I kept walking upstairs, and I was like, And it wasn't Brother Tim, it was the boys. Wow, heaven help us. We need 3 showers tonight. One, just to get rid of the smell in the air, you know. That's boys, okay? Boys and probably girls too, but I wouldn't know. Anyway, because we don't have that issue at my house. But the boys, woo! I'm like, Lord knows this smell. They didn't have shoes. They wore sandals. There was no paved roads. There's no sidewalks. Their feet were nasty all the time. The most menial of tasks is to wash feet. So John the Baptist said this, I'm not worthy to do the most menial of tasks for our Savior. The lowest of tasks, to take his sandals off of his dirty feet. I'm not worthy to do that. That's what John said. So don't look to me as being the answer for you in your life, because I'm not the answer for you. He is the answer. He's where your eyes need to be looking. The attention of your heart needs to be directed away from all of this other stuff, any other relationship, and directed straight to him. And they needed to hear that. And we need to hear that too. We need to be reminded of that great truth. And so John is pointing them back to Christ. He's preaching the word. And look at verse 21 in the first part of it. It says, now when all the people were baptized. I think that's a fantastic phrase. Because we already know that John the Baptist has preached, and we have already learned just in the previous verse that he's going to go to prison for preaching the word. What did he do wrong? He's going to jail, right? So what did he do wrong? Here's what he did wrong. He preached the word. And so he went to jail for it, which still happens, by the way. And potential still always could be a potential to happen with any pastor who preaches the word. So he's going to go to jail. But the Bible says that all people are being baptized. What does it mean? Well, it means this, that he's preaching the baptism of repentance, which is a transformation of the heart. And the people that are there are hearing the message and they're being baptized. What's that mean? It means that they're getting the message. God is transforming hearts. He's working in lives. So then with this transformation that happens in all of these, however many people are there, their lives are changing, their hearts are transforming. The Bible says that Jesus comes on the scene. Now when Jesus comes on the scene, he's going to be baptized by John the Baptist as well. But let's get this right. Jesus is not being baptized by John the Baptist because he needs to repent of his sins. Jesus is not repenting or having a transformed heart. Jesus is on the scene to be baptized by John the Baptist. Why? Because this is a transition in the life of Jesus. What transition? We have Jesus up until now. He's going to be baptized. The windows, maybe, I don't know that says windows, but heaven opens up and a voice from heaven calls down. And here's what the message through this transition in Jesus' life is. That Jesus in his life now is about to begin his earthly ministry. What's he going to do? He's going to spread the gospel. He's going to live a life that leads to ultimately his death on the cross, resurrection, and through that, the hope of mankind and salvation, fulfill the will of God. His ministry is about to begin. So, Jesus is about to start his earthly ministry. It's a transition. The Bible says the heaven was opened. Verse 22, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Now, without thinking about the imagery of that, let's just think about the fact that the Holy Ghost is coming on Jesus. Now, let's remember, Jesus is transitioning from his life as it was to his earthly ministry. And so the Holy Ghost coming on Jesus was giving imagery of what? The authority of God. That Jesus is going to go into his earthly ministry with God's authority. So the image here is this, that he is following God in these transition of his life into a ministry, and the Holy Ghost coming on him is saying that God is doing this. God the Father is doing this. Now we know Jesus is God, but the imagery is telling us that God is moving. God is working. God the Father is putting his authority on Jesus and his ministry that's to come. Then the Bible says that a voice spoke. An audible voice spoke out of heaven. Let's read that verse. We're in verse 22. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven. A voice from heaven, which is the voice of the Father, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." This phrase, the last part of that verse, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I am well pleased," is quoting from two Old Testament passages. Both of them are messianic. And so what the Father is doing is affirming the coming ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Affirming what? He's affirming a call from heaven that Jesus is about to go into his ministry, his earthly ministry. So there's authority from the Holy Ghost. There's authority to do this ministry. There's a voice from heaven, the Father, who says, "This is my Son. In him I am well pleased." And so this voice, this call, is to Jesus to move into his ministry. That is so awesome. It's so awesome to feel like you can experience this, even through reading, because when the Holy Ghost works in your heart, how many of you have been reading your Bible lately and the Holy Ghost is working in your heart? So that when while you're reading it, it's like you don't hear audible voices, but it's like you can hear an audible voice of God touching you and speaking to you while you're reading the words off of the text, but God's touching your heart with it. It's incredible how it works. You say, "Is that how it works?" It is how it works. The Word of God is declared, and the voice of God works in our hearts. It happens during the preaching too, doesn't it? So that you're hearing a message, and God's touching your heart. What's He doing? He's calling you. He's speaking to you. His voice is calling out to you. What's happening when the Word of God is declared? The heavens are opening up, and the voice of God is calling down from heaven above. And He's working in your heart through that. This is a miracle. This is something that's beyond what you and I can comprehend. The God of the universe, the creator of all that is, heaven is opening and he's speaking to your heart. That's incredible. That's amazing. We can't. I was in class one day, and at the job of the preacher, I think we forget this sometimes. I know we forget this sometimes. I forget it, and I'm the pastor. So I know that we forget this sometimes, that when the Word of God is opened, we are hearing the voice of God. Wait a second. The voice of God. Yes, the one who created this. Open up your window tonight and look at the stars, if you can see any, if you're in town. Look at the moon. Look around and see nature. Look at creation. The God of the universe who created it all, he speaks to your heart. I learned this in class one day. I said the job of a pastor is such an incredible job that at one point, that the Bible says, or the Bible indicates this, that heaven is at attention when the Word of God is opened. Heaven awaits the decisions of the hearts of men and women at the declaring of God's Word and the voice that touches your heart. So heaven peers. It's as though, spiritually speaking, if you and I could see the attention of heaven, that the host of heaven is more interested is well more interested in what's happening this morning at Valley Avenue Baptist Church than most of the people in this world, that heaven is paying attention. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is brooding over this place. Brooding, like, what's that mean? As a chicken who hovers over her chicks. Watch care, taking care of. And God is waiting for the decision that happens in the heart of man. The voice, the call of God that works in us. Okay? So, who is Jesus going to... He's going into his ministry, right? Yes, this is a transition into the earthly ministry of Jesus. So who's he going to minister to? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you. Look at verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. And don't get nervous, I'm not going to start reading all of these names that I can't pronounce. If you're looking for a list of names for your next child, just right there, just go through and see if you can pick out a name. If you can say it, then good. What we're doing here in these verses is we're seeing the lineage of Jesus. But it's different than the lineage that you see in Matthew chapter 1. Those of you are familiar that the lineage in Matthew chapter 1 takes you back to Abraham. I want you to see this. Look at verse number 31. Which was the son of Melia, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. By the way, who was David? The king? Yes. So we're going in reverse because his father was Jesse, and his father was Obed, and his father was Boaz. So let's jump down to verse 34, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham. Now, why was that a big deal? Well, let me show you. Go to verse number 8. This is who John's preaching to, John the Baptist. This is who he's preaching to. Look at verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves that we have Abraham to our father. Well, that's what they would say, wouldn't it? As the Jews, they would say, well, we don't need to repent because we have Abraham for our father. What's that mean for us today? Let's just talk about this for a second. Here's what that means. It means that you're not saved because you're sitting in church this morning. Right. I'm glad you're here. But that doesn't mean you're saved. You're not saved because of the family you were born into. You're not saved because of the church you were baptized at. Begin not to say within yourselves that we have Abraham to our father. Let's not start to convince ourselves that we have some religious heritage and because of that we have salvation. Mm-mm. And so Jesus in his lineage goes back to Abraham, but he didn't stop there because he didn't just come to minister to the Jews, did he? Well, where does it go from there? Drop all the way down to verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of who? Adam. Adam was the son of God. So the first man, his name was Adam. Do you know what Luke is telling us right here with the lineage? He's telling us that Jesus in his ministry, he's about to go into his ministry, came to offer salvation to all of mankind. All of mankind who? All of the sons of Adam. All of us. Not just Abraham. The sons of Adam. That's good news. Because you and I are sons of Adam, sons and daughters of Adam. We came from Adam. So his ministry was for all of mankind. God is not willing that any should perish. Some of you, you might say, well, I'm not sure that God can save me. God is not willing that any should perish. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. It says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is not willing that anybody would go to hell. He died to save all of mankind. He loved the world. All the way to Adam. There's no human that God isn't willing to save. There's no human that God can't save. And that's you this morning. So Jesus in his ministry, all the way back to Adam, all of the human race. What a blessing. the call of God on the life of Jesus to go into the ministry for all of mankind. This has meaning for you and me. Why? Because God calls us too. Can I show you something in John 20? Don't get too excited. I have quite a few things I still need to say, but we're on the right path. Let me say it that way. John 20. You can lose your place in Luke. John 20. I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. There, say amen. All right, let's begin in verse 19. Follow along. And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith to them, peace be unto you. Why is it a big deal that he said peace? Well, he's already died on the cross and risen again. So this is pretty amazing that Jesus is standing in their presence after being raised from the dead. So he said, peace be unto you, because they were probably a bit afraid. Well, look what it says in verse 20. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now verse 21, and this is the reason I read this to you, verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So the call that came on Jesus is on us. That means the voice of God that spoke to Jesus when the heaven opened speaks to us too. That means that if you're listening this morning, God wants to speak to your heart. And if you're listening this morning, then God already is speaking to your heart. Did you know that there's only one thing, two things generally, that keeps somebody from hearing the voice of God? Number one, well, three things. Let's just do all three. Number one, you didn't even show up. You're not going to hear from God if you're not here. Number two, you're not even trying to listen. Now, I know that this happens because whenever you're doing this, my guess is you're not even trying. I'm glad you're here. But you're not going to hear the voice of God just because you walk through the doors.
Right.
You're here, but you got to listen. Amen. You got to give effort to it. Number three, it needs to make sense to you. Don't answer this. But how many times has the pastor preached and you're like, I don't get it. I don't know what he's saying, you know. Hopefully not very many times, but it happens. So you have to understand. Whenever you're here and you're trying and you understand, the Bible says the heavens open up. And the voice of God will speak directly to your heart. He will speak to you. He'll call you. He'll call you. It's not an audible voice, but it's a voice directly to your heart. And it's the voice of God that calls you. He calls out to you. He knows your name. Know that song we sang? He knows my name. He knows your name. And he calls directly to you. And he has a specific call for you. I remember Melissa and I were just starting to date. I mean, seriously date. And we had traded numbers because, this is crazy, but I had a cell phone and she had a cell phone. Now, in those days, that was a big deal. Amen. Nobody had cell phones, you know, and God forbid if you tried to text somebody, because that was like $80 on your next cell phone bill. Remember those days? Don't text anybody. You know how to anyways. You'd have to put number 3-4 times to get your letters, you know. And then you spelled it wrong. Anyway, I didn't do any of that stuff. So I'm at home and I'm like, I want to give her a call, you know. But it just wasn't the right time. So do you know what I was doing? I was waiting. I was waiting for the call. And that's frustrating because, you know, you're like, this is taking forever. Why aren't you calling me, you know? So I called. Remember the day you were on your way to the airport and you got lost? And I think that was partly because of me. I didn't even know she was lost. She hit it very well. We had a nice talk, and she's frantically lost trying to get to the airport so she won't miss her flight, and I didn't even know. So I was listening for the calls, waiting for the call. I remember whenever he called me to be saved. You said, I thought you were going to say when he called you to be a pastor. Well, I remember that. We'll get there. But I remember whenever he touched my heart and I knew I needed to be saved. Do you remember that day? Do you remember in here? Not out here, but in here. Because you showed up and you listened and you got it. And the voice of God, the heavens opened, the voice of God spoke to you and said, you need to be saved. And you're like, I need to be saved. I need to do this. Some of you, you haven't been saved yet. Some of you, you have heard the voice. The heavens have already opened and have spoken to you. And you know in your heart that you need to be saved. You already know. You just haven't listened to the call. You're not listening. And you're fighting it. There was a couple of guys in the Bible who did that. One of them's name is Saul. Remember him? Whenever Jesus finally met him on the Damascus Road, and we've talked about it, I don't know, 100 times here at Valley Avenue, but remember what Jesus said to him? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And so God has been touching him and saying, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. And God's touching his heart, and he in him knows, I need to be saved. And that's happening to you, but you know what you're doing like Saul and kicking against God. And he's touching you. He's saying, you need to get up here. You need to get saved. And you're like, I don't want to today. I don't want to today. And you're kicking against God. And then there's another one. I feel like this other Bible character sat in my office for several years. And he's over here in this vicinity. I'm not going to say his name. But he's right over here somewhere. Okay? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but... Remember when you sat in my office and we got to the end of 8 weeks the first time? And then you said these words? I'll never forget it. You said, Pastor, you almost convinced me. And then he left. Did you know there was a man in the Bible who said that? His name was Herod. Paul gave the gospel, and then Herod said these words, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I wanted to grab your shoulders and shake you. You're in the Bible! That's not good enough. Almost isn't good enough. Almost isn't good enough. I couldn't shake you, though, because God had to do that. And he did, didn't he? And that's better than whenever I would do it. So, some of you this morning, that's you. You're almost persuaded to be saved. You're not saved. Look, you're almost persuaded. That's not good enough. If you die today, you will not go to heaven because you're almost persuaded. So the voice of God is speaking to your heart. The call is coming. And he wants you to answer his call. He wants you to listen for the call. You know, he called me to be a pastor. And I needed to listen to that. I'll never, ever forget. I remember whenever I answered the call to be a pastor, went to Bible college, and I was so nervous that he was going to ask me to be a missionary. I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to go to Africa or Brazil or Germany or you name it. I just want to be in America. Okay? So I fought God about this. I didn't even want to listen for the call because I was afraid he would call me. And finally I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And then he said, okay, great. But I don't want you to be a foreign missionary. I said, hallelujah. I remember when I surrendered to do whatever he wanted me to do. I remember when he spoke to my heart and said that you remember this? We need to go to St. Joe, Missouri. And then we're in St. Joe for 8 years, and I remember when God said, I want you to go to Falls City, Nebraska. Man. Did you know that I always just want to be where God wants me to be? That's what I want. I want to listen for the call. Wherever you want me to be, Lord, that's where I want to be. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, that's what I want to do. You know how I'm almost done here. You know how I sat in chapel at school? Melissa would remember this. I'm bringing you in a lot on this sermon, aren't I? I was a front row guy because you were a back row. She's a back row. Now, I brought her up closer, but when we were in college, she was back there, and I was right up here. But I wasn't just the front row, and I'm pain in my heart. I wasn't just a front row guy. I was like front of the chair front row guy. You know what I'm talking about? I have to show you this. Now, whenever you start a race, they have those tracks they put on the ground. What are those things called? Are they just called tracks? Starter blocks? Thank you. Excellent. That's how I listen to sermons. I'm serious. I listen to sermons on the front row like I was ready to start a race. Because I was waiting for that pastor. I was waiting for the preacher to say something that would make me just, amen! And then sit back down. I didn't want to be a weird guy and run around stuff. That was weird. But I didn't mind standing up. So I was like in the starting blocks on the front of the edge of the chair. And it was that was just how it was. You know, really, we all need to be, maybe not literally that way, but we all need to be that way in our heart. So that you're just waiting. You're just, okay, Lord, I'm just waiting for you to say go. And then I'm out of here. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm listening for the call. He will speak to you. You just got to listen. And if you need to be saved this morning and he's speaking to you, you just got to get off of that chair. Maybe don't try to run. That might not turn out good for you, but get up here and get it settled. If you just need to listen to the Lord on something else that's going on in your life, just listen to him. He's speaking to you. When we open the Word, then he speaks. Let me give you one more verse, and this is it. Romans chapter 10, 17. Don't turn there. I'm just going to say it to you. It's so familiar. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. Wait a second, isn't that the voice of God? You just got to listen. Father, this morning, we need to hear from you. And I am certain that we have heard from you. And you've spoken to us, and there's some that are here possibly that you are convicting they need to be saved. Would you give them courage to come and get excited, please? For those that just need to come, would you give them courage to come? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Pastor, I need to be saved. God's